We're in a series called Chasing the Carrot. And my guess is that all of us in this room have a carrot that we're chasing to some degree. A lot of people, we have this endless pursuit of something that we think that ultimately will satisfy us. Something that it's kind of like being on a treadmill, something that is ahead of us that we strive to get to, but it continues to be unattainable. It could be youth. There's people that, we talked about this last week, there are people that will have endless surgeries to make themselves look youthful. There's people that will dye their hair to make themselves youthful. It's like, I knew you were thinking that. That's why I'm just telling you. I just dye my hair and make myself look old so that I'm just owning it. There's a lot of people that will pursue money. They'll pursue success, the American dream, or maybe it's just happiness, but it's always that alluring desire for something that is out there, something that we think is going to satisfy us, something that we think is going to fill us. It's going to make life better. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not in your life. What's really important is that we identify the carrot that we're chasing. If all of us have this carrot that we're chasing, it's important that we identify that carrot. Otherwise, it will continue to be a pursuit that we're kind of mindless of. We don't even pay attention to it. Not really even aware that we're pursuing it. If we review last week, just three quick points that are reviewing it because it helps us set up the series and where we're going. First of all, we chase the carrot because of an internal void. All of us, we have this internal void. We talked about it, that Jesus had a conversation with a woman at the well, and he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and you'll never be thirsty again. He said that on the week before he was crucified. He said, listen, if you just knew who I was, you would come to me and never thirst again. And he was talking about a physical need that we have that Jesus says, I can satisfy within you a desire that even supersedes all the physical needs that you have. We all have an internal void. And we feel it because we think something's missing or something is lacking. Maybe we're unsatisfied with life and we're kind of pursuing things and thinking, you know, if I just get this, my life will be better. If I just get a hold of this in my life will be complete. If I just get married, I'll have somebody that will complete me. And we will constantly be searching for this carrot. We also looked at this, that spiritual needs can't be satisfied with temporary things. This internal void is a spiritual need, and it can't be satisfied by temporal things, the things that we see. It can't be satisfied with people. It can't be satisfied with other stuff. It can't be satisfied with money. It's satisfied something with our connection with God. So the last one here on the review is the void within can only be satisfied with God. God is the only one who can satisfy the void that we have within. And we have to physically stop chasing the carrots in our life and start chasing God. That is something that God will not force you to do. It's something that we have to take the initiative and say, you know what? I'm going to be chasing something. I'm going to stop chasing this endless or have this endless pursuit of a carrot, something that is, I think is attainable but is not. And I'm going to start pursuing God. If he's the one that meets and satisfies the needs of my life, here's what Psalms 107 says in verse 9. David says, for he, God, satisfies the thirsty soul and he fills the hungry soul with good. And whatever the void is that you're experiencing, God wants to fill it in your life. He wants to satisfy you. It's not going to happen with anything other than him. All right, so the carrot we're looking at today is carrot of success. I think it's a carrot that all of us deal with to some degree. Maybe more so when you're younger than when you're older. But a lot of people, we have this inherent desire to have success. I'll tell you what, I remember when we first started the quest, as pure as my thoughts were, as pure as my heart was, and I mean, we wanted to start the quest to reach lost people, and that's why we exist even today. We want to reach lost people. We want to reach people that are disconnected from God. But inside of me, personally, and I'm just being transparent, I'm not proud of this, I'm just telling you, this is how it happens, I think. As a pastor, I wanted to succeed. I wanted to see the church grow. I wanted the church to be better. I wanted the church to be bigger. I wanted the church to reach more people. And this idea of success, of getting to this place, though I didn't set a number, it was still, here's the problem, okay? If I can just be transparent, I was never satisfied. I mean, if we had 200 people, we could have had more. If the band was playing and they were doing this, we could have done something. And when success is a part of this pursuit, that becomes the problem. You're never satisfied. I think pastors are probably the worst in this area. Not because we want to be bad, not because we're so selfish necessarily, but there's this inherent desire to reach more people for God. There's this inherent desire to see people come into relationship with God. And so when you have that pursuit, the problem is it's never enough. And you never celebrate what you have. Here's the thing. Success is not inherently bad. Success is not inherently bad. God never tells us to pursue failure. We don't pursue failure. We don't pursue an average life. And there are many people in the Bible that God has blessed with success. There are many people in the Bible that God has blessed with success. In fact, in Proverbs it says this, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Well, that's success. That's the success we're looking for. So commit your plans to the Lord and then your actions will succeed. With success are a couple of issues we really need to address personally, each one of us. Because we all have, I think, desire for something, to be successful in something. I mean, you probably don't go into a field thinking, you know, I just want to be an average person here. I want to stand out. I want to do well. I want to succeed. So here's some things we need to identify when it comes to success. First of all, we need to identify our motivation for success. This is a key. What is it that drives you to be successful? For some people, it's money. For some people, they pursue success because of money and just money. It drives a lot of people. Some people, it's freedom, to have the freedom to set my own work schedule. I want success, so nobody else tells me when I have to go to work. I can go to work whenever I want to go to work, and I have that freedom. And sometimes our pursuit of success has a lot to do with what people think of us or what we want people to think of us. So sometimes what we want is recognition. Our motivation for success is we want to be recognized. We want to be elevated in the eyes of other people. We want other people to notice our success, which is a real pride issue. But listen, when we're dealing with success and we're dealing with this chasing the carrot, it's about a self-centered life, and it's something we really need to watch. Sometimes we're looking for respect. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says this in Ecclesiastes. It says, Then I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. It's like chasing the carrot. You just never get it. And a lot of times our success is motivated by envy, by desire to please or to impress people. Sometimes our motivation is revenge, as if to say, I'll show them. Let me also give you a transparent moment in my life. My wife afterwards will tell me, Dave, you're being too transparent. All right, but so the second gathering won't get this, but also pertaining to the church, I've had people that, staff members that worked for us and things like that, and when they left, they said, you know what, I want to see this, I want to see the quest fail as they left. I thought, man, that doesn't reflect God at all. And something inside of me, I'm not saying it was good, I'm just saying, I'm being transparent here if that's all right. Sometimes it was like, I said, you know what, I'll show them. We'll succeed and I will show them. It's not a good motivation. It's a bad motivation. It's a self-serving motivation that God had to deal with me about. We have to identify the motivation because the reason why that's so important is because motivation reveals the heart in our pursuit. The heart in your pursuit is revealed because of your motivation. That helps you to understand. When you look at your own reasons for why do you want to succeed, it gives you a great picture of your heart. Is it selfish? Is it selfless? It may be supporting the selfishness or the pride that we might have inherently within us. When it comes to success, another thing we have to determine is our definition of success. It's one thing to identify the motivation, why we want to succeed, but then also the definition of what success looks like, because a lot of times the chasing the carrot, the reason why we never attain it is because we really don't have a definition. We have an idea of what we're looking for. And all of us have it. Some people determining what success means or determining when success happens, it's by comparing themselves to other people. That's their definition, because success is about being better than my neighbor. Success is about having more than that person. That becomes their definition of success. So how do you measure success personally? What does success look like? I mean, seriously, we got to address this personally. Is it about how I look or how you look? Is it about what you have? Is that the definition of success? Is it about who you know? And are those things, is that what identifies success for you? Is that what God says is successful in your life? Identifying our definition of success is important because our definition reveals the purpose in our pursuit. What is the purpose in your pursuit? That comes out of your definition. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 1. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. And if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Success is not discovered in pleasing people, because somebody's always going to be unsatisfied. If success is the carrot that never satisfies, then we've got to understand what does satisfy us, and that is significance satisfies us, not success. In fact, you can write this in if you want to and fill it in. While we strive for success, internally we actually long for significance. A life that outlives us, a life that has purpose, a life that has power that is greater than success itself. What will matter in life is not your success, but your significance. And there's a big difference. Here's the difference between success and significance. First of all, success is when I add value to myself. A lot of times, that's what we, in our definition and our motivation of success, what we're looking at is adding value to myself. It could be possessions, it could be prestige or power. Remember, success is not inherently bad. It just won't satisfy the void. Success benefits me, and it can be a self-serving approach to life. On the other hand, significance is when I add value to others. You want a significant life? It's a life that adds value to others. While success benefits me, significance is going to benefit others. And that can be how we invest our time in others, the sacrifices that we make on behalf for others, the love and how we show that love to other people, the words that we use to affirm people and encourage people are all a part of adding value to them. We experience a significant life when we allow God's purpose to be our reason for living. If you want a purpose in life, then you've got to come to terms with God's purpose for you and I existing. And we know this scripture, you've heard it 1,000 times if you've been at the Quest. And if you've been in church, you've heard it probably. But Jesus tells these religious leaders basically this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second commandment is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. And here's what we have to understand. If you want purpose, and if you want passion, and if you want significance in your life, see, when God becomes our purpose, people will become our priority for every one of us. When God becomes your purpose, people will become your priority. It's nothing you really have to try. In fact, I would say it this way. A best way to see if God is your purpose is to look at your life and say, are people my priority? Because whether it's 1 John, whether it is the Gospels, you cannot love God without loving people. And God always calls us to that. When God becomes your purpose, when He becomes your passion, people will be your priority. If you want a significant life, then it has to be your pursuit. It has to be your decision. It has to be something that you decide, something you have to give yourself to. And if we want significance, then we've got to understand, how is it that we prioritize people? How does that happen? Because success is going to be about us. Significance is going to be about people. So how do I prioritize people into my life? First of all, I prioritize service over status. Listen, when it comes to success, usually it's tied to wealth, power, prestige. That equals status for us. That elevates us, makes us look good. It adds value to our lives. We want to add value to people's lives. So we want to elevate service. Significant kicks in when we're serving others to be a success. Philippians 2 says this, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too." Making people a priority also means that I prioritize we over me. In other words, I make a decision that we is more important than me. It's about valuing them. It's about saying, you know what, their opinions matter, their hearts matter, their concerns matter, their worries matter, their lives matter. What's going on in their lives is more important than what's going on in my life right now. And I want to invest myself in helping them rather than looking for ways that benefit me. We all know this. It's inherent within us. We're always looking to benefit ourselves. We're always looking out for us. That's not going to bring the success that we're looking for, or it's not going to fill the void. I like, you know the scripture, but it's found in Acts chapter 2, and it talks about the early church and how they prioritized we over me. It said all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had, and they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And that is a great picture of we being greater than me. We also prioritize people when we prioritize worship over wealth. When we prioritize worship over wealth, and you might think, well, I don't know, how does that work? Here's what worship is. Worship is the expression unto God of all that we do in life. So when you're at work, it's worship. When you treat your job as a gift from God. When you're a husband in your home, your worship is how you minister to your family as unto God. When you're a wife, it's the same way. When you're a friend, worship is the expression of gratitude to God for the friendships that He's given you, and you treat them with respect. You elevate them. You really choose to invest yourself in the friends that God has given you. So making people a priority, loving them on behalf of God, loving people the way Jesus would love them, becomes an expression of worship. You know the story. I don't have to go through the whole thing. I'm not going to read all of it. It's quite lengthy. But Jesus is having a conversation. He's giving this picture of what it's going to be like when the Son of Man returns. When Jesus returns, and He's looking for people that are reflecting Him. And it gives this picture. Jesus says that this king will say He's separating the sheep from the goats, those that belong to Him and those that don't. And the ones that belong to Him, He says, "For I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, and I was a stranger and you invited me into your home, and I was naked and you gave me clothing, and I was sick and you cared for me, and I was in prison and you visited me." And then the scripture comes that's on your notes. Then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when do we ever see you a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me." It goes back to this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And out of that love, love your neighbor as yourself. As we wrap up our time together, as we wrap up this day, here's the question. Do you want to live a significant life? Or would you like just to continue with an endless pursuit of chasing a carrot, chasing significance or chasing success that never will totally fill you? Or are you ready to make your life to be a significant life? We have to make that decision. And if we're wanting to live that significant life, we have to ask, okay, where do I get my motivation from? Where do I get my inspiration from? Where do I get my example from? And it's from Jesus, obviously, because he made us his priority. He made you his priority. And Mark 10 talks about it. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." I'd like you to close your eyes. I just want you to hear me out. People will never be your priority if God is not your purpose. Your personal purpose. People will never be the priority, and you'll never live a significant life when you are in charge of the purpose of your life. And it's about relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with people. Relationship with God first, and out of that flows a love for people that allows me to live a significant life. Nobody's looking around. Nobody is. And here's what I want to just ask you. Is anyone in here done living for success and you would rather live for significance? Let me see. You can just put your hand up, put it right back down. Okay, very good. Then what is God saying to you personally right now? Is he your purpose for living? Because if he's not, he wants to be. And that comes out of relationship, and you can begin that today. Or maybe you've just built your life out of a selfish, self-centered motif that says, I'm going to take care of myself and let other people do what they want. When God is your purpose, people will be your priority. And if you want to begin a relationship with God today, man, this is the perfect day to do it. It just comes, you just talk to God yourself and you say, God, I'm ready to begin a new life. And I want my life centered around you. I want you to be at the core. I don't want to live out of a selfish ambition. I want to live out of a selfless, surrendering position. And God hears your prayers. He hears you talking to him. And if you are here this morning, I'm going to pray for all of us. But if you want God to, if you just need somebody else to pray with you, just about something that's going on in your life pertaining to what we're talking about, we're available to pray with you after the gathering. But before we dismiss, I want to personally pray for all of us. So let's do that. Father, we're tired of a life based on success, a life that's built around serving me, a life that's based around making my life better. Inherently within us, Father, you have put within us a desire to make the lives of others better, to add value to them. But it can't happen in and of ourselves. We can't make that happen. It happens because we experience you. And Father, for those that are here today that want to begin that relationship and they want to give their lives to you, you hear them right now where they're at. And as they take steps to follow you, Father, I pray that you would allow people to be a priority. And Father, for every person that is here today and how easy it is to be distracted, Father, we want to resubmit ourselves to you and make you our purpose so out of that people can be a priority. And the influence that we have flows out of a love that we have for you. Father, help us to love as you would love, because Father, every single one of us in here to some degree have experienced your love and know how it transforms us and how it changes us. May that continue to happen, we ask. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.